Let's get back into Revelation here, 22. We're going to finish this up today, have a final summary, and maybe a few words of comfort at the end that won't come from me. They'll come from the Bible, so that's more important. So if you turn to 21 or 22, we're going to pick this up. I'll just read some of these so we can make sure we get through here in time. Verse 10, and he said to me, that's the angel, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. And who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He is holy, let him be holy still. Okay. Two things that I saw here. If you go back to verse 9 and 10, you see, keep the words. We see some instructions to us. Keep the words from the angel. Keep the words. Worship God. And then in verse 10, do not seal the words of this prophecy. And at the end here of verse 10, be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. Now, be righteous. Those are our kind of a four commands that I see in here. But that last part is basically whatever you choose when the time is up. If for those that are unjust, for those who are filthy, for those who are not righteous, their fate is sealed, and it will be in the lake of fire. For those who are righteous, who hold on to stand steadfast, as if you watch that video that you might want to look at here, that's our charge, to hold fast to Christ no matter what happens. When you're given the option of do you take the mark of the beast or do you eat, to me, I think I would choose the death at that part. So I hope, okay? We won't find out unless we ever go through that. So keep the picture of what Job went through in the forefront of your mind here. So, but those who are righteous, you will be rewarded with the heaven, the eternal state of being in the new heaven along with our Lord, because that's where our Lord and our God will be. He will be amongst us at that time. So I don't know if we covered that, but last Sunday, but we'll just want to pick that up verse 12. And just a few comments as we go through here before we summarize this. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And this is, we have now just shifted, and I want to go back, when I go back through and read Revelation, I want to know who, I'm going to go from the perspective of who's talking here. We have just shifted from the angel talking to John to Jesus talking to John in this, because I am coming quickly. My reward is with me. I am the Alpha and the Omega. And that's what Jesus was actually speaking to him in the first chapter of Revelation, being the beginning. Of course, Alpha and Omega is the Greek. In the Greek, alphabet is the first letter and the last letter. So that's our picture. There is no one before him. There is no one after him. So that's the importance here. Again, I am coming quickly. We discussed that last week. Does that mean I am coming like next week? Or I am coming when I come? I'm speaking for him. It will be like that. I think I see it in that terms. I also see, okay, we're still less than 2,000 years, just under 2,000 years. Quickly, in my mind, would not include 2,000, but it's not my mind here that's writing this. So that's a blessing, too. Okay, so it could be just around, you know, we could be in God's time just around the corner. But I think when he comes, it will be quickly. I wanted to cover that. That's mentioned in the first part. So let's continue on. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. Those who do his commandments, we've read about those characters that will not inhabit our heaven here. But we're challenged here, blessed are those who do his commandments. So one that says, oh yes, I follow Christ, I'll say this prayer, and then run off and do what he or she has normally done. And I'm guilty of that in the past. That kind of gets a conviction right there too, doesn't it? I see that as, you know, Christ could see through people when he was on earth, and of course, obviously now. I was approached at one time it's on the question of homosexuality, and sexual immoral. And the woman that was caught in adultery, and of course, we all know that was a trap. But when the woman obviously was seen, or when Jesus said, let him without sin cast the first stone, and they all walked away, and he says, where are your accusers? I guess they're not here. Well, I'm not accusing you either. But what did he finish that up with? Do you remember? What? Go and sin no more. So sin was there. We can't say that she was without sin at that point. But we have to conclude that he saw through her and said, and saw that she had repented of her sin, and that's what we're looking for here, I think, as I see it. So that's my opinion, okay? I'll try to identify my opinions with what we have on that one. So there is sin, there is offering of repentance, and also, where did I hear this? One of our commentators. Oh, by the way, did everybody get a handout here? So that's for further study in Revelation for, they're around here someplace. Yeah, they look like that. It's just one page front and back here. So here, over here. So So we're looking at, I had a thought, one of those memory things here. So let's just keep looking here. We're going to roll right through here. We're going to be done with this part of the study by the end of, in 30 minutes. So outside are the dogs and sorcerers. I wanted to point out that in Deuteronomy 23:18, you don't have to look that you right now, you can just jot that down. The term dogs, and of course dogs at that time were wild dogs. They weren't our tamed Fifi or tamed Fido here. They were wild dogs. And back in Deuteronomy, they were mentioned as commensurate with male homosexual prostitutes. So that's our context here. We have in several places. One that comes to my mind is 1 Corinthians 6:9. All of that list of characteristics that will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. It's not my word. It's not my rules. It's God's rules. So, and that's what I'm wanting to bring out here. But the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, they aren't going to be there. And whoever loves and practices a lie, what kind of a lie would that be? The lie that you can be like God, maybe? The lie that we were not created, that we just evolved? Is that the lie? I'm not sure. I see a lot of lies out here that a lot of people are following here. The lie that, the lie that everyone's going to go to heaven, right? Is that a big lie? Turn to Matthew 7, 21-24. Not everyone that comes to me in that day will say that. Many will come to me in that day, I think. And I will say, paraphrasing here, be gone from me, I never knew you, okay? That's something I do not want to hear. I would not want anybody to hear. But yet, Jesus mentions that many. That's a lot. So, not everyone, but that's many, many. So, and they are outside of the gates of Jerusalem. They are outside of the gates of heaven. They will be eternally outside. So, let's move on to let's just finish this 16 and 17 up. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. Well, root, Sounds a little paradoxical there, doesn't it? Like paradox, the root. He is the creator, though. We just read that in John. But he's also the offspring of David. He created the line that created David. So he is both the creator, and he's also the offspring. And, of course, that's him in his manifest, being manifest as a human being that we're going to be celebrating here. What is our, we 1 week away from the celebration? Okay, good. 1 week away from Christ's first coming. And, you know, when you look at the first coming, if you look at it in respect to the second coming, it brings a whole lot of different meaning to our celebration. You know, I've grown up with that warm, fuzzy feeling of the Christ child being born, and it is. But that was just his first part. That's just the first step. This is the final step. And those who are not in the kingdom of heaven have a lot to be afraid of. So, not that I'm looking forward to going through the death process. I'm not. But I do know what's on the other side. So that's important. So the bright and the morning star, that is a, you know, the star is being, what's the word here? The glory that is given to Christ here. So I want to go on to 17, and then maybe we can stop for any other comments here. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. So the Spirit's the Holy Spirit, and the bride is the church, us, at that time. We will say, come, and let him who hears say, come, and let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. We had that picture of the stream that was like glass, or the coming directly from the throne of God, and that is the water that is of life that is offered freely. And Adrian Rogers, I remember him saying, there's a few things I have a difference of opinion on, but I have a lot of respect for him when he was preaching. He said, Christ, to become a Christian, it costs you nothing, but it costs you everything. You know, well, where's the paradox there? It doesn't cost you anything to say, to repent and follow him, but it just costs you everything because you're going to turn your way from your ways and you're going to follow him. So there is that cost, count the cost. And of course, we're going to be persecuted too, so you might be counting that cost also. Just look at the law that's going to be passed nationwide here. And they, of course, they misrepresent it like so many of the laws. The Defense of Marriage Act, that, as I see it, is going to put pastors in jail because they're going to preach the Bible and they're going to say, no. The Defense of Marriage Act, by the way, is homosexual marrying, okay? And if you step up against that, you are discriminating against that lifestyle. So I see pastors being the first line. The rest of us will be the next line here. So that's coming. How did I get off on that? I'm sorry. I digressed. So this is really Jesus' final appeal to us, to anybody who is not, well, to anybody who is unjust, who has not turned from their sins, who has not repented. This is the final appeal, because we go back into verse 11, and we see where our decisions will place us for eternity. And eternity is an awful long time. So I kind of skipped through the robes. I had a few notes out here. The robes being, where did I see that here? I'm not there yet here. The robes that are washing their robes in as white robes. I think that's a picture of the tribulation saints. I think that's all I had to say on that one. Any comments before we finish her off here? Any other comments, questions? Questions that John can answer for me? Okay, let's move right, yes, John, John.
I'm not sure, this might be taking something a little bit too far, but maybe not, and that Christ is coming quickly. When we think of this life, even if Christ doesn't come when we're alive, this life goes by pretty quickly.
It has, hasn't it? I'm going to look at it as two meanings there, that it will happen soon within God's time frame, but when it happens, I'm looking at it that it will happen quickly. So.
And when God says that 1,000 years is one day and one day is 1,000 mm-hmm. years, the context is referring to
His time, isn't it? His.
He wants people to repent.
Yeah.
Repent and come to him. And so he's waiting. And 1,000 years is one day to him, so it's pretty quick.
Repentance is kind of the message of our whole Bible, isn't it? And along with the everything that we see in our Bible points, either directly or indirectly, to this event that we're seeing right now, the end of the time. Now, did I mention this, that angels, it's not coming from me, it's coming from one of these people I listen to and have on VCY. Angels understand God's holiness. We talk about it, we've read about it, we don't have an understanding of that, do we? Not in this, not until we see him face to face. But angels in that spiritual realm have that understanding. But angels do not understand what it means to repent of your sins. And God's grace is the grace that God offers. They don't understand that, because the third of the angels that followed Satan, there's no plan for them, their repentance and their being able to be saved. They're gone. They're sealed. Their fate is sealed. And we're going to see that we skipped over that, but that would be in, don't take my words, Satan took a third of the angels. That's in chapter 13 of Revelation. We kind of glossed over that. So, what? Or 12. Okay. We're going to quickly look here. It's in 12. Okay. Now you can take my word. It's in chapter 12. Yes, 12 by 13 on one side of the page here. Yes, his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. So that's our statement here, that Satan took a third of the angels. They do not understand grace, though, like we do, like is available to us. Not everyone will accept that grace, though. So that's where I see more that we would mourn. So, okay. Any other comments there before we head on into our final warning and our final statement here? I testify, which is Jesus here, to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. If someone is saying, and I'm not the enforcer, this is God's, but I am going to bring it to everybody's attention. If somebody says, oh yeah, I believe the Bible, but this part right here I don't believe, you can go right back here and say, and if anyone takes away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life. Of course, that person has just placed themselves equal to or above God if they say, this part, I don't believe this part. And unfortunately, we see people in churches that are like this too. And they say what itching ears want to hear. But adding to these books, I brought several of these books that I have been reading I'll just point them up here.
These two items is where I kind of started this, putting this lesson plan. I've got three here. I've got seven others. Some of them I've read and forgotten. Some of them I haven't gotten to. Some of them I'm in the middle of. But they all help me to get into this word to point out some correlations. There's none of them that I've run across that contradict what we read. And of course, does this book mean just Revelation or read the Bible? I saw an extensive dissertation on that, and I believe I would put it this way. This book of the book of Revelation is written that complements the entire books of the Bible. And so if you're taking away or adding to any of the books, you have to be taking away or adding to the book of Revelation. So I don't see that as an argumentative point. It's stated there. These that I've been studying have just helped me. I'm comparing that to, say, the Book of Mormon. When the Book of Mormon, as I haven't read the book, but I've read about that religion there. And the Mormons that I know are very good people. They're nicer, they're better people than Christians, okay? Than most Christians that I know, most of them. But they are told in the Book of Mormon that their reward is dependent on how good they behave here. So it's a works-based religion. We are supposed to have the compassion and are taking care of fellow believers first, and have that the light of the word, the world, the light of shining to the world. I think in Philippians, I know have no you know, placing others above yourself is I'm paraphrasing that second chapter of Philippians. We do that because we're saved. We don't do that to be saved. Okay? There's our difference. So I think the Book of Mormon, because the Mormons believe in the King James Version, but also the Book of Mormon that has some different things here, just like my Catholic friends here. They believe in, and Laura can back, coming from that faith here, can back this up. They believe in the Bible and what the Catholic canon is, which comes from the Pope, okay? And if the Pope says something that contradicts to the Bible, the Pope overrules the Bible, okay? That's my Catholic friends. I don't want to offend them. I like them as friends, but it's the truth, okay? What I just mentioned is the truth, right? Back me up on that.
Yeah.
Right, it overrules the Bible. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you don't get much Bible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, unfortunately. So, there was only one thing that I mentioned in one of those Tim LaHaye with Thomas Ice on there, and it mentioned that Old Testament saints would not join in their be caught up in the air until at the end of the tribulation, unlike the New Testament saints. Now, I look around here and I see a lot of people like me are old people, but I don't see any Old Testament saints. Okay? So that's a non-issue at this point. Okay, so, and it's just that I didn't find that. I'm not saying, you know, I'm sure they had some way of that, but they were not contradicting because I could see, you know, back in 2 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 4, the rapture. First, those dead in Christ will arise and be with him, and then those who are with Christ at that time will be raptured. So, I guess the Old Testament, I don't know, I'm not going to get into that here. It doesn't affect. Like I said, I see a lot of us old people out here, but I don't see any Old Testament saints. So, that's a non-issue to me. That is what I wanted to bring on that.
that. Any other comments on that one, on our final, before it says, I am coming quickly? John?
I don't think it's taken it too far to say that those, that verse about taking away or adding to was for the whole Bible. And one of the reasons is that in Proverbs 36, it says, add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee and thou become a liar. And in Deuteronomy 4:2, says, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you.
Very good. I don't have to worry about that anymore. Not that I did, because it's all together, isn't it? So
God's word is God's word.
God's word is God's word. It's very dangerous to be saying any part of it you don't agree with. There's a lot of parts I have to have look in my past, and even now, I need to conform a little better to God's word. I need to conform my life to his word, as opposed to, we'll see right there, that justifies me, doesn't it? I mean, as an example here, it's God's word. We should always be looking to conform our life to God's word, and that's the important there. And don't take away from it, or don't add to it. So these books that I have here, they're just resources to help me get in and study his word. So that's my spiel on that one. So then in verse 20, he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. There's a kind of a message, underlying message there. He's coming quickly, isn't it? And amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So as Christians, we should welcome this coming. If it were to happen tomorrow, we should welcome it. If it happens 10 years from now, we should welcome it. If it doesn't happen for another 50 years, we should live as if it's going to happen today, right? So, or 100 years. Not quite sure I see the world events happening that way, but it's not, I'm just trying to read the signs here. So with that, we can now say we finished, even though we skipped some parts of Revelation. We skipped Revelation, or we finished Revelation, but, I did want to say something here. Scoffers, just keep in mind, turn to 2 Peter 3:4. What are we expecting to see here? 2 Peter 3:4. Okay. Oh boy, that's a long sentence, but we're going to pick that up here with the. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things. Oh, where is the promise? Let's back up even further here. There's going to be scoffers. That's our point here, and they're going to come up knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of this coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. It's kind of like saying, well, I haven't died yet, so I guess I never will, right? It's going to happen because we've been told it's going to happen. Will it happen today? Will it happen 10 years from now? Will it happen 50 years? Will it happen 100 years from now? I'm pretty sure 100 years from now, we won't know. We won't be on this earth 100 years from now if that's the case. So, but that is one of one of the things that we need to be looking out for. Now, so in summary, Book of Revelation. And I pass that out. That kind of gives you a referral to Old Testament because our study of the Book of Revelation is really just beginning. And I went back and I started, and after going through this study, I started reading the first chapter. I said, hey, that makes a lot more sense now when I get the overall picture. And that was the intent here that I could see is, let's get this kind of a jet, well, maybe a turboprop view of the book of Revelation, maybe just a propeller of the book of Revelation. So now we can go back in and do our study and fill in the fill in the blanks here, because summarizing, you know, our first chapter, verses 1 to 8, we have the prologue, and verse 9 to 18, we have the vision of the glorified Christ, and then in verse 19 and 20, this all first chapter, we have the commission to John to write these things down. We also are given a blessing that if you read and understand these things. In the second and third chapter, we have the letters to the seven churches. I skipped that. Pastor Terry went through that a few years ago. I don't know, time flies when you're having fun. You thought it was a lot longer than I did. And of course, we had two churches that were spoken well of, and the other five had their problems, had big problems. So, but we can't leave that alone. And then starting in chapter 4, we don't see Christians on this earth, but we have this vision, 4 and 5, of the worship, the worshiping of God in heaven. And then from chapter 6 all the way through 18 is our great tribulation period. We had the seven seal judgments, which we kind of mentioned, but I think it's important to go back through them. We aren't going to get that done so in the next 6 minutes, but they're worthy of reading through to see what life is going to be like in that tribulation period. We have the seven trumpet judgments and then the seven bowl judgments, which happen right before Armageddon, the battle. We did go through that, and that's kind of where we picked up Revelation at that point. In chapter 19, we have the return of the king after the battle of Armageddon, which won't be, that'll be quick. And chapter 20 is the millennial kingdom is set up, and at the end of that is the great white throne judgment. That's also in chapter 20. And then we just finished the last few Sundays in chapter 21 and 22 is the eternal state, eternal heaven. I mentioned earlier that if you take the mark of the beast, your fate will be sealed. And that one is, I wrote this down, in chapter 14. Just one quick look at that. So just, you can leave in your will to anybody that reads it, if you're still alive and you find yourself here at the time of the tribulation, chapter 14, verse 9, coming from the third angel, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. So that person taking the mark of the beast, the fate is sealed. So we've gone through, I first wrote down reasons to that we have to follow Christ, but then I changed that, the reasons that we want to follow Christ, okay? We want to follow him. We want to adjust our attitudes, that we want to do this. And now, just so I can say, I had this this belief that I might be able to get to the Olivet Discourse. Boy, was I way off. But if you turn to Matthew 24, I do want to point out some final comments from our Lord. Of course, the Olivet Discourse, just briefly set up, he had just chewed out the scribes and the Pharisees. Gave them woe to you seven times. I don't want to be told woe to me anytime. And in a question form, he tells them where their eternal state will be. He says, backing up to 30, verse 33, serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? This is Jesus telling the brood of vipers. That was in chapter 23. But in 24, he's moving across from our picture of Jerusalem over here down the Kidron Valley over here to the Mount of Olives. And he's explaining how a prophecy of in 70 years the temple will be destroyed, which we can see that came to pass, didn't it? But then he's also giving us these words, and he's speaking really to the Jews, But I think we can apply this to us. But he's speaking to the Jews who will be caught in that tribulation period, because there will be Jews that come to Christ during the tribulation period, as we discussed earlier. But in chapter 24, verse 4, I will pick that up. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you." There's our first command. Don't let anyone deceive you. "For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars." We're kind of hearing of a rumor of war starting right now, aren't we? Of course, there were wars earlier, too. "See that you are not troubled." That's our major command and our comfort right there. "See that you are not troubled as we go through this. For all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." Our world calls some of these things, global warming? But that's what we're being told. But this is coming from the mouth of our Lord right there. So, "See that you are not troubled." We will go through something. Even if we are wrong, and we have the belief, and we have, I think rightfully so, but we could be wrong, that we brought across this from the pre-tribulation rapture and pre-millennial Christ return. Okay, we could be out of order there. We may be going some. It's a possibility. We are. I'm not going to escape that. But even if we're right, I see that we will be going through some persecution. But see that we are not troubled and don't be deceived on that. So. In the last days, one final comment. We have 30 seconds. Turn to 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 5. 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 5. Paul writing, or God writing, inspiration of Paul. "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving." Boy, that's a long list here, isn't it? "Slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty," meaning arrogant and proud, "lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people," here's our next command here, "turn away." So let's turn away from those. And a little bit more. Flip over to chapter 4, 1 to 5. "I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word." So even though I think that the pastors might be the first group that will be put in prison, I think the rest of us need to pick up the flag and continue on if that case happens. I think of that pastor in Canada that was preaching out when they were trying to shut him down. And is he out yet? He was in jail. I haven't heard back. But he didn't stop preaching. He's out now, isn't he? Right now. For now. So. But that's our final. That's another one of our commands here. Preach the word, pastors. Preach the word. The rest of us, that we may have to pick up the flag, and continue on. Be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering or patience and teaching. Okay. With that, our time is up. We will close, and then we will get ready for worship. And next Sunday is Christmas. All right. Our Heavenly Father, let's. We thank you for this word that you, this study that we've had through your word. We thank you for opening our eyes to following you, and that we ask that your will be done, and that you use us as accordingly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.